Hey, it's Ronnie here. Welcome to a very special edition of Watch What Crappens, a podcast all about Bravo. Today, we have the incomparable Ms. Leah Black joining us. And we started yapping so much right off the bat that we didn't even do an intro. So here's your intro. My name is Ronnie. You can find me at TVgasm. You can find Ben Mandelker at B-Side Blog. And you can find Ms. Leah Black at Leah Black Miami. Please be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and comment on our iTunes page. You can follow the show on Twitter at What Crappens. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/WatchWhatCrappens. We have a really fun Facebook page. People talk a lot of crap on there, so make sure you get over there. And I will shut up now and get on with the show. Here's Leah Black. Hey, Leah, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, of course.
Leah, we have to admit right up front that we love you, and on our show, we like doing a lot of impersonations of the housewives. So yeah. I'd like to officially say, Leah, welcome to the show, Leah!
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I hope I'm your favorite.
Leah, how fun is that?
How fun is that?
At least I'm your favorite today, right?
Yeah. Leah, if you don't like this podcast, please don't tear it down. That's all I got.
Oh my God.
You know what? I have to say, Leah, you know, you are not only our favorite today, but I have to say, you've honestly become one of my favorites of all the housewives of all the franchises. And I realize I just sound like a total kiss ass right now. And I know, I get it. To all the listeners out there, I realize what I sound like, but it's the truth. Leah, I swear to God, you're one of my favorites.
Oh, thank you so much. So sweet. I'm glad I at least have one fan because I have a few people gunning for me.
You do? Yeah, like
who's gunning for you?
The show are always gunning for me, you know?
Well, I think you feel like relevant. That. I think
they don't
everybody...
have anything else to do, or do they have to be relevant? They've got to like attack me, right?
I guess. But I think that you just feel like that because you're only looking at your wall. I think it's pretty natural if you're a housewife that people are always gunning for you, right? Like even if Mother Teresa was a housewife, I think people would be gunning for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the show, for sure. It's part of the show.
Yeah, they'd be like, what's the deal with your habit? Why do you always wear that same habit every single day? Huh, get a new one.
Can't you help more people today? You're not helping enough.
You only hang out with sick kids to make yourself feel better, don't you?
Yeah, right. That's a good one. Oh, my God.
How different is this season from the first season for you, filming-wise? Has it been a complete turnaround?
Yeah, you know, well, it's a little more intense. It took a little more time. There are a lot more cast members, so it's a little more complicated. And they integrated some people into the show that, you know, we kind of had to kind of build a foundation for that a lot of us didn't know very well. So, you know, it's been different, yeah, than last year.
So, wait, just to give the listeners some perspective, the people that you knew coming into this season, that was Marisol and Alexia and obviously Adriana, right?
And correct. Was there,
and then those are the only three right now, right, that you knew prior to
I knew,
season.
Correct. I knew those, and I did not know Anna, Joanna, or Lisa. I had met Anna once for 5 minutes, you know, last year, but the others I hadn't even met.
And same with Dr. Karen Sierra, correct?
Oh, Karen, too, correct. Yeah, I didn't know her either.
Now, you know, when I watch the show, it looks to me like you just are there for the ride, it seems to me. It looks like you're just, like, sitting back and watching these women go crazy and just laughing the whole way. Is that far from the truth?
Well, I do find the humor in it. You know, I find it very humorous how people react, how they overreact, how they don't react, how they observe, how they participate. I find the whole thing rather an interesting thing to watch. You know, I sort of think television brings out the best and the worst in people. You know, it definitely brings out the worst in a show like this, but it sometimes brings out the best because you'd be surprised how many endless hours some of these girls will spend into looking pretty.
Classic Leah Black right there.
High maintenance at a new level.
Well, Leah, I have to say, you've heightened the maintenance over there. I mean, your hair, first of all. Your hair.
Oh my
looks...
God, I cut my hair like 5 inches.
Your hair looks so good. I remember last year it was always sticking up, or like if the wind would blow, it'd be all huge. And this year it's always coiffed. I just went to your Twitter account to do some spying, and I was like, look at that hair, Leah. That a girl,
Leah. Oh, my
Leah.
God. You know what happened is one day I pulled it back in a ponytail and cut it myself, and then I went and got it shaved. And I actually like it better, shorter, because it's just less to fool with, you know? What I do like about my hair when it's long is it's easy to twist up. So I try to keep it long enough to twist it up, but short enough not to fool with it. I'm a low man.
I feel like half your cast members probably just fainted at hearing that you cut your own hair.
Oh, my God. They probably are fainting and calling 911 for oxygen right now. As I'm cutting my own hair, they're spending 5 hours doing extensions.
How much time do you think Lisa takes getting ready? I mean, she looks like she has, I mean, just a touch makeup.
I don't know. She says it takes a long time, according to her. Those are her words, not mine.
How are you getting along with Lisa? Because they're trying to make it seem like there's some friction between you guys. Is there actual friction?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's really interesting because I never knew there was any friction, and I'm only hearing it and seeing it now. And I find it kind of fascinating in a way that you could be so nice to someone's face and invite them to your home and have them invite you to their home and hug them when you see them. And then when they're not there, say these horrible things about them behind their back. It's kind of fascinating to watch because I haven't been around people that do that much in my life, to be honest with you.
Well, so we don't know.
I was kind of taken back by it, you know? It was a little bit shocking.
Yeah, but you don't know if people have done that before because they don't have cameras following them home.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
Wouldn't that be great to just have a camera in everyone's car so you could hear the shit they're talking after the dinner party?
Oh, my God. It'd be a very lonely life. We wouldn't have any friends left.
Do you dread any time on these Housewives shows? They're like, okay, there's going to be a dinner party. Do you secretly dread it? Because I feel like there's never been a dinner party on The Real Housewives that has ever ended nicely and politely.
You know, I don't dread them because I kind of like stepping outside my comfort zone a little bit and just kind of watching what happens.
Uh-huh.
I kind of dread watching the shows a little bit because you never know what happened in your mind compared to what happened in the viewer's mind. So I don't think those always line up, you know, but I don't really dread the party. Some of the girls I don't look forward to seeing. I do look forward to seeing.
Yeah.
I like the way you put that.
Well, also, you're very good at dinner parties because you – On the show, at least, you'll just throw them outside. You're like, if you guys are going to throw food at each other or throw wine in each other's face, we're outside in the middle of nowhere. Go for it.
Oh, my God. You are not going to believe tonight's episode and Sunday's episode. They're doing it to two-part because it's all one big party. And talk about throwing things and throwing people and throwing into the pool and throwing wine and throw people out of parties. I mean, it is beyond really anything I can say I've personally experienced at a party. It just went crazy that night.
Do you think it's because there were cameras there, or is this just par for the course for Miami?
I think it was Miami. I think it was very organic. I think people, you know, had a little to drink. They were dressed in lingerie, which gives you permission to really kind of, I guess, be a little less covering up who you might be, literally and physically. And I think people just, I think people forgot the cameras were there because if they remember the cameras were there, I cannot imagine someone's behavior.
Well,
to be honest with you.
You know, speaking of organic things and parties, I have a question about your sort of organic luncheon from season one when you brought all those women out to the boondocks. Were you just screwing with them? Were you just like, I'm going to take you guys to some hot, humid place where you'll be miserable and you're just going to have to deal with it? Or did you actually really want to go there?
Well, both. But the truth is, yes, I was screwing with them. Because if you put up with 3 months of high-maintenance girls that have to have 5 hairdressers and 25 wardrobe assistants and 10 makeup artists and every hair in place and every mirror in every room, you would be tired of it too. So I thought to myself, let them see, you know, the other side of life. So that was one. And the second thing is that organic garden is one of the most famous, world-renowned organic gardens in the world. And it's really a treat and a pleasure to get to go there. But I knew that they wouldn't get it. I mean, they didn't get it. I told them to wear white gloves because I wanted them to pick their own vegetables. And I told them to wear hats because I didn't want them in the sun. I never said it was going to be, silver service. I just said, wear your hats and gloves. And then they, in their mind, if I would have been somewhere else and I said, wear hats and gloves, people might have shown up in cowboy boots and hats and gloves. So it was just their perception of what hats and gloves meant. And I found that in and of itself a social study that was very comical.
Yeah, it sure was. And you know what else was funny? It's like these girls are acting like they're so classy, and they're being served by Michelle Bernstein, as I recall. Yeah. Or weren't they?
Oh, my God.
I mean, she's fabulous. You know?
Oh, my God. What a treat. And she's so classy and so fabulous. And she's like as good as it gets. And they're sitting there complaining about whether the food was chopped fine enough or whether there was a fly buzzing around their head. I mean, it's really funny to watch. It's funny to watch. I gave them gifts after that, and I gave Larissa one of those nets that you wear over your head. I gave Marisol a picture of herself in that ridiculous hat. They had all those chicken plucks on the top of it. Really funny gifts afterwards. But nothing they thought that was funny either. Some people just need to get a sense of humor.
So what happened with Larza?
Larza went to Chicago because they had based out of there for years. So Scotty started doing a lot of work for the Bulls. And so she wasn't going to be here anyway. So whether or not that had anything to do with her coming back, I don't know 100%, but she couldn't have been here anyway. And Christy, I think it was kind of mutual. I think she was tied up a lot with her kids and a lot with her husband and her ex-husband. And, I don't think she was really thrilled with how she came out. And I think it was kind of mutual that she didn't come back. But I don't know. I mean, I can't 100% say that's true. That's just my read on all of it.
Well, I really miss doing Christy's voice. I wish she was totally still on the show.
You know what? She was cute in her own way, and she's just a free spirit. And, I think they made a whole lot more out of the ticket than they had to. But I kept saying to her, just say, look, I'm a free spirit. I crash parties, and here's a donation, and that'll be the end of it. But if you're going to keep digging yourself into this hole that you didn't invite these girls and you didn't show up, I'm going to keep defending myself that you did.
Yeah.
So, and she just wouldn't take my coaching. I really tried to help her dig herself out of the hole, but the more I tried, the more she dug in.
Yeah, and that was really a silly hole to get stuck in, too. I mean, it's like,
it was ridiculous.
Now. Yeah,
enough already.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to come out of this looking right. So just say you're wrong and move on. Agreed. Totally
agree. Exactly. Agreed. Move on and laugh at yourself. I mean, there's really nothing wrong with three beautiful single girls crashing a party. I mean, come on. Really? Who's not going to want them there?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I hear that.
Maybe her ex-husband.
I don't think he really is. I think he's on to other things.
Now, I have a question, though. Is this whole thing with Christy and that party, is that the bone of contention that's going on between you and Marisol over this red carpet?
No, that has nothing to do with that. What happened with that one is another whole complicated story. You'll have to call me at the end of the season, and I'll tell you exactly how it all went down. It's another example of somebody just not owning up to what their mistake was and moving on and still continuing to justify it, continuing to spin it, continuing to tell a story about it. And every time someone does that, they put me in a position to unveil the truth.
Yeah.
And I, it's not that I really want to, but I'm not going to allow someone to sit around and criticize the charity and the volunteers and not stand up for them. I'm just not going to do it.
Well, this whole thing with Elaine and the red carpet, it seems like Marisol's explanation was that wasn't even Leah's party. That was something completely different. And I did it because the client wouldn't. I couldn't do it because the client told me to. So it was at your party. It was the red carpet at your gala.
It was at my gala the year that the governor was there. And if you go back to the tape, it was the same year that she didn't let Adriana on the carpet. So those two were not on the carpet. That was not the problem. That was like a little tiny pebble on the beach of the real problem. That was just a little nothing that kind of was a red herring. But this is, and you can usually interview Elaine sometimes. Elaine will give you trapped Grunberg time and time again when he feels Marisol's gone out of her way to keep him from working or walking a red carpet. And I used to not believe him. You know, I used to think, you know, James, I can't imagine anybody doing this. But then people, you know, firsthand information would tell me. And then I'm like, wow, why would anybody do that? So it's really kind of a strange thing. And I don't know. It's just either very Miami or, you know, there's something that underneath it that we don't all know about. But it's very bizarre, I find. I like everybody to be on the damn red carpet. You know, if you want to be on the red carpet, be on the red carpet. Who cares?
She better be careful. She better be careful because you don't want to miss off you don't want to piss off drag queens. I mean, she'll have an army of those girls after her.
Well, not only that, I mean, like Elaine says, my life is a red carpet. You know, I mean, they're all hilarious in their own way. They really are.
Are we ever going to see Frida on the red carpet?
Oh, you know what? I have tried to get her to go to the gala year after year. I've promised her a pretty dress, and she never wants to go. But I would take her even if she wore a sweat. I went and bought her every Juicy Couture that they have matching tops and bottoms in every color. And I take her to California the whole summer, and I say, just wear your Juicy Couture where we go. She wears a different color pants, a different T-shirt, and a different belt every time with a different color shoe and those balls in her hair. And I still sit at the Beverly Hills Hotel with her and have lunch because I think she's cute.
Can we come to lunch next time?
You're invited.
Yes.
You're invited.
Yes. Yes.
She is so cute. She's going to be really famous now.
Oh my God. And you know what? She hasn't even asked to see the show. She's so funny.
Where did you find her? How did she come into your life?
Oh my God. 20 years ago, I wasn't even married yet. And I had these two big Dobermans, and I had a hard time getting anybody that wanted to help at the house because they were scared of the dogs. And so she came to me through my friend Vivian. And when she walked in, I found out that she had not been paid in over 2 months by these people that she was living with, and she didn't have her papers, and she was scared to death, and she had nowhere to go. And I said, you know, I'm going to figure out a way to take her in. And the minute my dogs came in the room and she just started loving them and kissing them and hugging them, I said, that's it, I'm taking her. And I took her, and I spent a lot of money getting her into the system and getting her lawyers and getting her paperwork and making her officially here. And I just treated her really like family ever since, because she deserves it. I mean, who lets two dogs over and sleep in the bed with them? You know what I mean? Really?
Frida. Frida does.
You know, so, yeah, so she's very sweet that way. My son loves her, and she's his family.
So what about your, what about all your charities? Are you still doing that one that we saw in season one where you're doing career counseling for girls?
Well, that was someone else's charity, and that was really kind of a pathetic, I thought, because I spent 4 hours between getting there, doing the event, and coming back on my own time to volunteer to go and meet these girls from another charity. And they clipped it into a complete mockery of these girls. And I was really not happy about that, because I felt sorry for the girls, you know, and those were foster kids that don't have anybody or anything. And instead of showing the good side of them or showing nothing at all, they chose to try to make them look bad. And I did not appreciate that, because those girls really had nothing. I mean, to them, they were scared to death that the cameras were there. They were probably a little intimidated by me. And, you know, it's just one of the things I did as a favor to someone else that had a charity. It wasn't even a charity.
Yeah. I thought it was yours. So which ones you have? You're involved in a lot of charities, aren't you?
Well, I volunteer when I can, but mostly I have the charity that I started. This year will be 19 years if we have an event this year. I mean, every year I say I'm going to skip a year, and then every year I wind up doing it. But I started this charity about 19 years ago because a judge was telling me how these kids get arrested. And then once they get a record, there's no way out. And so I started trying to raise money to keep these kids out of jail and keep them in, you know, after school programs and in other types of facilities, and get them education and mentoring and structure from the state for their homes and all of that. And that's what I've done really for 19 years. And over those years, we've kept thousands and thousands and thousands of young kids out of jail and in school. And some of them have gone on to major universities. One kid even went to Harvard on a scholarship for architecture, I think it was. So, wow. You know, it's worth it, because if you save one of them, I think if you save one, you're saving a whole community, because all their friends kind of see that they could do it too, or it gives them hope. And a lot of these kids don't even know that there's another the world out there. They had no idea that you know, people have their own bedroom, or, you know, that you could go to college or anything. But there is an after-school program. All they know is, like, the streets, and it's very sad that way.
Wow, yeah.
That really is sad.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, that's the thing, too. I mean, after so many years of doing it, it's amazing how people still, like, I was just looking at this, you know, some of the things people say, you know, on this show about, you know, charities and this and that, and really demeaning. And, you know, I was doing a charities before it was popular to do. And I think it's our responsibility to do that. And people that criticize that or don't get that, it makes you wonder about their social consciousness. You know what I mean? They're probably the guy that's not even out voting this year.
Yeah. Well, how do you go from like these very serious things, like your charity consequences? That's what it's called, right? And going from that to then having to step into a conversation where women are bickering about who tweeted a photo of an artist first.
Or whose boobs are bigger. you know, that's part of really, it's really comic relief, because I come home and my husband's worrying about somebody that's been in jail for 29 years on a first-time offense, non-violent crime that he's trying to get out pro bono. And a mother's calling me saying, you know, that her husband's got the kid and won't let her in the house and she can't afford an attorney. And then I go to a party and it's all about tits and ass. I mean, it's really comic relief for me in a lot of ways.
Now, do you think, so Dr. Karen Sierra, she seems to be stirring the pot a lot this season. Do you think that she is all about, like, just, she's a, you know, star fucker, basically, or no?
No, I don't think that at all. I think those girls didn't give her a chance. And I told her the first, you know, when I first met her, she chattered in my ear a little bit, and it kind of was annoying. And I made a couple of jokes about, I know now why she's a dentist, because she could put, you know, her hands in your mouth and you can't talk. And I just made a joke and I laughed. And then when I saw everyone else was piling on, I backed off and I sat her down. And she, you know, I was at the venue party, and I said, listen, Karen, I just want you to know before you hear it from anyone else that I did say that your chattering annoyed me a little bit, but it's not that big of a deal. And she said, you know, I respect that, Leah. Thank you for telling me. And I gave her a hug, and then that's it. She knew where she stood with me, and I knew where I stood with her, and that was it. And then after that, when they piled on, I always defended her, because I don't think they should all be piling on. I think it's wrong. What has she done? What has she done besides, you know, smile and laugh and hug and be a little excited? Trick, and maybe she's stirred the pot a little bit. So what? I mean, the punishment doesn't meet the crime. You know what I mean? It's like they want to hang her out to dry for what? Just being like a little bit out there? I just find it to be, I can't understand it. I don't understand it. I just really can't understand it. I think it's an overkill.
Yeah.
Well, Adriana, is it Adriana or is it Adriana? Is it Adriana?
Adriana.
I think it depends on which language you're speaking.
Okay. She seemed to be the most, like, she seemed, like, totally flummoxed by Karen's behavior. But, I mean, you've known Adriana for so many years. Is she runs hot and cold? Is this just par for the course for her?
You know, I said it on the show in one of my interviews, and if Karen pushes every one of Adriana's buttons, she just can't help it. And I find it absolutely hilarious to watch. I just find it a laugh and a giggle. That's a belly laugh. Adrian will be so upset over something ridiculous that Karen did that it just pushed one of her buttons, and it's just funny to watch.
It really is. I mean, I've never seen someone get so pissed off about a tweet in my life. And I don't think I ever will see someone get so pissed off about a tweet in my life. I love it.
It was just the tweet.
To all her artists,
stuff underneath it.
Huh? All her artist followers.
Oh, yeah, all those followers, yeah. But, you know, I think it was a lot more than just the tweet. It was just that, you know, to Adriana, that was such a serious, important thing, and Karen made it, like, kind of frivolous. And it was just one more little thing that Karen did that got underneath her skin, which to me was absolutely hilarious. I wish I would have been there. I would have been literally on the floor laughing if I would have been watching it.
Now, what do you think about Adriana, you know, when you guys had your season one reunion live on Watch What Happens, that was like one of the craziest things I ever saw. And Adriana was going nuts on that episode. What was your impression? You were sitting right there. What was your impression of that night?
Well, I think Adriana, once again, you know, she's got a hot temper, and that year it was Christy that was pushing her buttons, and she was not going to have any of it. So she's unfiltered, and she says what's on her mind. And when she said that, I mean, it was live television. I mean, my jaw dropped. So I said to Andy, I said, Andy, welcome to my world. This is what I've been living in for a few months now.
Well, I mean, really. That was awesome. I remember watching that, and I remember thinking this was one of the craziest things that Bravo has ever aired. It was just screaming, nothing but screaming.
Well, Real Housewives.
Not only that, did you notice that it was live? I mean, what was it thinking to do a live reunion with a bunch of hot-tempered girls?
Well, they know what they're doing. They're Bravo. It's not like you're watching NBC, you know, like the nightly
news. This is an HGTV,
I prefer that they do it live and don't edit it. I prefer that any day of the week, because I will always take responsibility for what I do and say, but I don't like to be responsible for how someone else perceives it and paints the picture, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think a lot of us who watch The Housewives a lot, it kind of becomes a sport in a way, I guess a blood sport in a way. And especially when it's on so much, you know, it becomes kind of part of your life. It's like your little friend. And I remember when that reunion came on, cheering out loud, because I thought they just got themselves another season from that, because it was filmed as a different show at first, you know, we all know that, and it was made into a Housewives later. So it didn't really fit a lot of the parts in the season, but man, with that reunion, I thought they just earned themselves another year. Atta girl.
Thank you, Adriana.
And by the way, I'm so glad. I think the second season has been so much more entertaining, because I feel like the first season, you know, they put it together from another show, and I feel like you could tell that somehow, like, it just tonally was just not quite where it needed to be. But this season, it's full of all sorts of crazy ridiculousness that I love. All the fights and the fights and the petty talks about boobs and tweets. I mean, that's what I live for. You know, when I'm sitting on my couch, that's all I got going on.
I know. I'm telling you, it really is comic relief, because you can't have thin skin, though. I mean, if you're going to get upset every time someone says, because I mean, look at how many times everyone on the show has said something about me. I have just kind of said, you know what, that's their perception, they're entitled to it, so what? And then once they say it enough, I say, okay, time for me now to defend myself, and I'm going to put them in their place, and then I do, and I think it's fun.
I think that's one of the reasons why I like you, and I think probably your fans like you, is that, you know, you sit there and you sort of just like laugh it all off, and you're just amused the way we are, but you know that if anyone truly steps to you, we get a sense that you're just going to destroy them at some point.
I'm gonna pick my fights, you know, because some of the fights, you know, some of the things you have to consider the source. You know, they know not what they do. Some of them, though, are calculating and conniving and very much know what they're doing. That's a different kind of an argument. And the ones that just don't know what they're doing, I mean, how seriously can you take it, really? But the ones that sit around and spend days and weeks, you know, they're just conniving and figuring out how to say something or how to get to you in some way. Those are the ones that are worth taking on, because it's like, you know, they're just trying to be relevant at someone else's expense. I don't agree with that.
Who are the connivers?
The connivers, yeah. I just don't agree with that. I think you're going to spend your time on something, spend it on something good.
Well, you can kind of tell who they are, because, I mean, you know, we have the benefit of seeing the diary room sessions or whatever. So you can see who they are, and, like, they're starting at the beginning of the year, the them versus us, you know, like the first season cast versus the new cast members. You see that kind of breaking out a little bit right from the very beginning. And, I mean, we have the pleasure of seeing that, obviously, because we see what they're saying behind everyone's back. But
oh, I didn't see that. Good for you.
Well, no, just because you can sort of perceive, you know, like in the beginning,
perception.
Well, you know, in the first episode, you know, they started to set up this whole thing with, like, Lisa, you know, bemoaning the fact that you walked into the party and just gave her, like, a perfunctory hug and then moved on to Elsa, and she was...
By the way, let's just clarify this. Is it me, or is this just hilarious? You walk to a party where there's 400 or 500 people there, and you probably know 75% of them. It takes you 30 minutes to even get to where the girls are with all the hellos, 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 right?
Right.
You finally get there. You give a girl you've never met in your life a hug. Hi, nice meeting you. And then you walk over to somebody else, And by the way, Elsa had called me that day and said she didn't really want to go because she knew that the girls were not going to be talking to her and she was going to be by herself and she was uncomfortable. And I said, if you go, I promise you that I will take the time and spend my time with you and I'll stay with you. So I walk up to her and I'm in the intent and spirit of making her feel comfortable and welcome and one of the girls, I brushed the other one off a little faster than maybe I would have. That turned into Snubgate.
Listen, Leah, you know what, Leah, you don't even have to explain because we saw it. You know what you did? You had like a normal human interaction. You hugged her and then you saw someone that you knew and you gave her a warm hug and like it was a totally normal thing. But, you know, they wanted to make a whole big thing out of it.
It's just hilarious how she turned into Snubgate. And she made a decision right then and there that she had to have a conflict with somebody. So it was going to be me.
Well, you know what?
Dug deep and hard.
Give her a big long hug and then send her an invoice for it afterwards.
No, I'm going to give her a big long hug and then I'm going to give her a big long hug and then I'm going to send her a pacifier.
I just figured you thought that she was Mariah Carey and you felt awkward about commenting on the bee sting allergy that she's
happening. Yeah, I thought she was a Playboy bunny and I was intimidated. You know, I don't know. My God, that's just an example of making something out of nothing.
Yeah. Well, you guys have had a lot of press while you were filming this year, which, you know, some of the housewives do, but there was a lot of stuff. I mean, I feel like I remember reading, like, police being called or all sorts of drama on does it even get crazier throughout the season? Last week they showed us this extended preview of the rest of the season, and it looks insane.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, this tonight, it really heats up. And then Sunday night, it goes to the next level. And then I think from there, it's just action-packed. Because by now, people are building alliances. And they are having, like, either resentment towards people or not liking somebody or looking for what's wrong with people. And it's starting to build. And it takes a while. I mean, they introduced a whole lot of new characters, and it's starting to build. And I think starting tonight, actually a little bit last week, but tonight, from here on out, people are going to be flabbergasted with the amount of drama and conflict that these girls can conjure up literally out of just being at a party and having something be a catalyst that escalates everything out of control. It's insane.
And you're just there laughing. You're just enjoying the ride.
I do find it funny. I mean, is there something wrong with that? I see they get so much criticism for laughing at it, but how do you not laugh at some of it?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's what I'm always saying about some of the other housewives on this show and the other shows, that, you know, they just take it so seriously. I mean, the ones – I think the housewives that the fans like the most are the ones who seem to be able to sit back and see it for what it is. So it's like you, Lisa Vanderpump on Beverly Hills, Carol Radziwill on New York. You know, people like that when there's someone that is able to have some sort of perspective on the ridiculousness that's swirling around.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that because, you see, I didn't know that. And I'm happy to hear that. The only feedback I get, you know, if you go to BravoTV.com, they have their blogs. So people go, I write my blog every week and goes on every night after the thing, and I tell my side of the story about what I think really happened. So the only feedback I get are what people write in my blogs. And I have to say, my blogs are very interesting compared to the others.
Well, you know, the commenters on the Bravo blogs, you know, those are the greatest minds on the internet, I have to say. So
be sure to take their
words very carefully.
Listen, well, what do they say to you? Like, give us some examples.
They say things like, okay, like, let's say I clarify something. This didn't happen this way. It happened that way. Or I didn't mean to say this, and I say that. And then here they all come out. I agree with you. You are right. You're my favorite. The next one is, are you kidding me? You said that. Why are you lying about it? And the next one is, I love you. I thought you were so funny. I loved your outfit. The next one, I hated what you were wearing. Why were you wearing that? I mean, it's just... You know, I'd say 90% of mine are positive, but it is kind of an organic feedback because these are people that are just observers and viewers that are all across the country and maybe even some internationally. I don't know exactly where the show is. And they're just giving their honest feedback, but it's interesting how invested they get. I mean, some of these people write 10 paragraphs about what they thought about you on the show.
Well, we're recappers. We're recappers, so we do write 10 pages about it. And we have a podcast. We're grown men with a podcast about this crap. Okay.
We're just sad. We're sad people.
Yeah, we understand their sadness, Leah. We understand it.
We don't know what's wrong with us. It's a beautiful day here in Los Angeles. It's beautiful and sunny, and we're here inside geeking out about the house.
You know, I spend all summer in Los Angeles, so when I'm there in the summer, I have to come to meet you two.
Oh, my God. You're making my dream come true. Don't tease me like that, Leah.
Oh, no, I absolutely will. In fact, I have parties in my house all the time, and you'll have to come over and meet some of them. You probably know a lot of them, but some of my fun, fabulous, crazy friends. Too,
well,
because
yeah.
We actually really do have fun, fabulous parties.
You know what? I'm glad to say that, because you know what? We had Jill Zarin on this podcast a few months ago, and she's all fun, like, "Hey guys, da 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 da." And then randomly, I was in the Hamptons over Labor Day weekend, so I texted her. I was like, "Hey, like, I'm in the Hamptons," because she said this whole thing, like, you know, like, feel free to, like, if you're in the city, whatever, come over. We'll have a drink. And I got silence from her. So I'm
cheated. Oh my God.
I have lost my faith. I've lost my faith.
That does not happen with me. I collect people. Some people collect things and I collect people. Do you know that I had at my house this summer, I had all the producers came at one time or another. Anybody that was editing the show came at one time or another. Anybody in the cast that was there came at another time. If the girl that did the makeup came, another guy that did some photos. I invited everybody. Then recently, a guy from Bravo said, "I'm on a layover from here to wherever he was going to visit his family. I'm going to be in town for like 4 hours." I ran out to the airport and bought him drinks.
I am so calling you, Leah, because I've been rerouted to Miami a few times when I've had to go back to home to New York, and I've been stuck in that airport with nothing but eating some like old plantains in the food court. And now
oh
I know
God.
What I'm going to do.
You'll have fun, and then I hook them up. Oh, I hook them up. When the other guy came down here and he stayed after everything was done for the weekend, I invited all my friends and I introduced him to all of them, and I made sure they all exchanged numbers. And I said, "Now you guys work shifts and you make sure he has a good time this weekend." And I didn't see him again until he got back. But when he got back, he told me he was so exhausted. He had to sleep for 2 days because my friends wore him out.
I like this. I like where this is going. Now, I have a question, by the way. Speaking of this, actually, there's no transition. I tried to say speaking of something, but it has nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay.
You know, I know that, you know, your house, I've noticed, has all sorts of funky art. And one thing in particular that I can't help but notice is you have like a giant, like, shiny alligator crawling up your wall. Can you tell me what
that's hilarious? All about?
What is that?
Well, you know, Greg Lotus, who's a big photographer, he's done 100 covers for Vogue. He borrowed that one day to put a suit with him, and it took like 7 or 8 guys to pick it up and carry it up. Is like a ton. But what happened, I went into an antique store and it was laying in the middle of the bed for sale. And so I negotiated a price. It's solid, whatever, with 21 karat gold over it. And it's signed by this French artist and it's really a piece. When I got home, the guy calls and says, "You know, it's in the middle of a divorce dispute and they don't want to sell it and this and that." And I had to fight for that alligator. So when I got it, I realized it was so big that anywhere you put it in your house, you're going to trip over it. So I hung it on the wall.
You put it on the wall.
But I had to have it. I love it. I think it's just fabulous, especially being from Florida. You know, it's just, it's great.
Well, oh, I'm sorry, Ben. We brought up Jill Zarin before. Did you watch that interview she did on Watch What Crappens Live? I mean, Watch What Happens Live? Sorry.
Yeah, you know, I had TiVo'd it, and because I automatically TiVo that show, and I half the time don't go back and watch it, but so many people tell me to watch it that I went back and I did watch it. So,
yeah, that was pretty nuts. And a lot of some of the bigger things that she said, I mean, she didn't shut up through the whole thing. I mean, one of the things I always say on the show is, "Shut up, Jill Zarin," because she won't stop talking. But she's a motor mouth, man. But one of the things that she said that I thought was really interesting was when she was telling Andy, don't you remember when I went to Bravo and pitched this storyline to you? And she was talking about pitching storylines and the network's involvement and all of this. How relevant is that to your show? Do you guys do that? Is that true that you guys actually go pitch stuff? And
this is probably one of the reasons she's been wanting to be there. I don't think Bravo needs any housewife going and telling them what they need to put in their storylines. I think they want to put it together and have it be organic and have it be real. And I think the minute you start trying to contrive your story or turn it into something other than that's really how life is working out, I don't think, one, they want to hear it, and I don't think the viewers want to watch it. And I think that, you know, if that's your goal in life, go be a producer and don't be on a reality show.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. So, because Kyle Richards from the Beverly Hills Housewives was saying that's absolutely not true, and their show is completely real and nothing's ever staged. And we're just always curious about how much of this is staged, you know?
Like, I can tell you from my point, from my character, nothing is pre-planned and it is all organic. What the other girls do, I don't know. But I worked the show into my life. I didn't work my life into the show. I give what I was going to do anyway. I give them, this is my calendar, this is my schedule, this is what I'm going to be doing. And whatever you want to film, you want to film, and you tell me what I need to show up at, and then I managed it. I don't know. Some of the other girls, I'm sure, had agendas. You know, maybe they were promoting certain things, and they were trying to integrate it in. I really didn't have an agenda on this show other than just kind of having fun and making fun of it and just enjoying it, because I think the minute you make it an agenda, you lose your authenticity. And the minute you're not authentic, why would anybody want to hear what you have to say?
That's true. Well, when are we going to find out about your secret porn career?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There's a DVD, and I have Joe Francis is going to be coming out with any day now.
Oh, yeah. We'll get him on here as a counterpoint.
He's on the show tonight, and oh my God, he gets into it with the supermodel, and it just goes from there.
Was this the first time you had met him?
I've known him for years. He's like a brother to me, you know, and I took him to this party as my guest that night, and it was a lingerie party. Who better to invite him? And he went looking like Hugh Hefner in his little boxer shorts and his little six-pack ass showing in a little robe. And then he shows up, and it just... things just kind of got out of control.
I love that you brought Joe Francis to a party. Like, of all the people that would be bringing Joe Francis to party, I just would not expect it to be you. I would think it'd be like Marta or something like that. But it's you. Well, and the fact that it's you makes it awesome.
There happens to be a little history between him and Marta that plays out tonight as well. Oh, my God. You know, I kind of hang out with crazy people. I'm not interested in 9-to-5 boring people. You know what I mean? I got enough of that in my life. I'd rather hang out with people that are a little more eccentric and out there. And, you know, I don't know. I think the crazier they are, probably more I like them.
So are you gonna wear anything crazy for Halloween?
You know, I haven't thought about it yet, but probably not. I'm not much of a costume girl. Of course, my friend James Elaine, drag queen, convinced me to dress up like Marilyn Monroe, and she dressed up like the other Jane Russell, and we sang Two Little Girls from Little Rock at the Gay Parade Pride. That's my last costume that I have worn. I could put that on again, I guess, but that was hilarious. She put it on YouTube, and, I mean, people were like, oh, my God, it was funny.
Now,
you know,
they're going to be people that are going to dress up like you for Halloween. So what do you think are the essentials, the Aaliyah essentials for Aaliyah costume?
Oh my God, me?
Yeah, it's going to happen.
A big mouth, a big laugh.
Okay, some glasses, right?
Messy hair, lots of jewelry, and a little sarcasm.
Oh, perfect.
Love it. That's a great outfit. Before we go, I want to ask you, did you ever meet Rosie? Have you moved into that house on Star Island? And how is Rosie as a neighbor?
Well, I have met Rosie, but not through the house. And we didn't move into the house. We rented it out because we're in a dispute with a neighbor. And once we resolve that, we'll tear it down and build there.
Atta girl.
All the neighbors on Star Island are fabulous. Actually, on one of the episodes coming up, there's a big party at Thomas Kramer's house. That one also kind of escalates out of control.
Get
a couple of drinks.
Yeah, that's the one that Mama Elsa gets told off at, isn't it?
Exactly right. You give them a couple of drinks and let them start speaking their mind, and you know what? Truth is better than fiction.
Oh, my God. I'm uncomfortable with that, being mean to Mama Elsa. I hope she's got her pocketbook. I will hit you with my pocketbook.
Oh, my God. How hilarious is that? I was so impressed. You have to go back and read my blog, because I put in there about how both of my ladies maintained being ladies, and I was so proud of them for being ladies. And then at the end, I said, you know, I always do a list of things to think about, and I said, think about this week, and I list all my little things, and I said, and pocketbooks are the new mace.
I wish Elsa had hit him with a pocketbook just to see it. just to see it happen.
Oh, me too. And I wish it would have been one of those with those big spikes on it that the designer has out right now.
Yeah, the Louboutin, yeah.
Yeah, we could have had a couple little, you know, marks on the face. And then we had to go to the doctor. And, I mean, we could have stretched that out. That could have been, my God, 911.
Well, we didn't read your blog this week, but we'll make it up to you in the next podcast by reading your blog as you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I hope you'll catch up. You know, I write for the Huffington Post about politics, too.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to ask you about that. I happened to sort of skim through your article right before we started because I didn't realize this until just before. You wrote a whole big thing breaking down the debates. So you're politically active. I feel like you're probably the most politically active housewife there is in that you actually write for the Huffington Post and no one else does. Right?
Excuse me, the Salahis broke into the White House. Oh, I think they're the most politically
active. Really. Number two,
that's hard to top.
Yeah,
I wrote how the housewives, how the debates are like the housewives, the last four debates, you know. So in the last year, I wrote some stuff about the housewives and politics. I kind of do a parody between political fodder and housewife fodder, you know? And it's just fun. It's something to do. Of course, you lose immediately. Half the people probably don't like me because they probably don't agree with my political views. But, you know, I would rather stand for something than be popular, so awesome.
Yeah, amen, sister.
That's right?
That's right. I agree.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up, Leah. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us. We had a really great time talking to you.
All right. No matter what, you email me the middle of June, no matter what, and you'll be coming over during the summer. You'll see.
Okay,
I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to show up with a little picnic basket and big sunglasses, and I'm going to come in, and you're not going to be able to get rid of me, just so you know.
I'm happy. I'll adopt you. I love it. It'll be fun. And you'll love all my crazy neighbors. I live on Sunset Plaza Drive. All the people on my street are fabulous.
Yeah, we live right by you anyway. We're your poor neighbors. We'll just follow you around Sunset Plaza going, how fun is that?
So much fun. We can go to Chin Chin. We can go to all my favorite places down the hill. The Comedy Club. It'll be fun.
Oh, you don't know what you just started, Leah Black.
You don't
even know the can of worms you just opened.
Leah. I'm telling you, I collect people. You guys will see. I'll add you to my collection.
This is the beginning of the end for you, Leah. This is the beginning of the end.
Well, tune in tonight because you're going to see some of my crazy collections on the show.
Oh, we'll be there.
We will be.
All right, honey.
And our listeners can follow you at Leah Black Miami on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, I'm at Leah Black Miami on Twitter. Yeah.
I'll be tweeting you this podcast in just a minute.
I love my Twitters. I love following. I love, even when they insult me, I still retweet them.
All right, well, we'll be tweeting you this in a second. We're just going to get it uploaded and get it on the road.
I can't wait.
Thanks so much,
Leah. For your time.
Have a great one.
Tune in tonight, 9 o'clock.
We'll be there.
All right. Bye-bye.
We'll be there. Bye.
Bye, Leah.
A game of golf. I may make a play for the caddy, but when I do, I don't follow through, 'cause my heart belongs to daddy.
To the insurance company that did me wrong, I've moved on and I'm happily insured with another. Bless your pea-picking heart, it was just never meant to be betwixt us. You gave me automobile insurance apprehension, and GEICO has come along and in just 15 minutes given me new car insurance and made me as jubilant as a newborn lamb in springtime. Yeah. And Paw has given GEICO his approval. That's one thing you never had. Joyful with another. Clara May in Columbia.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.